What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast. What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast United Network. I am your host, Jeff, and my number on the Drunk Scout rating is a zero, but I do have a nice vodka and what do you call this? Anybody want to guess the flavor squirt?
Oh, geez. Cran Snapple.
No cran. This one is actually, I don't even know. It's like a pineapple mango or something. I don't know.
The mango.
Yeah. So first of all, let's thank all of the listeners who are still listening, even though the Saints season is over. Yay to you. But just because that's so, it doesn't mean that the Dome Patrol isn't going to continue churning out episodes that feature your favorite lowbrow humor and faulty opinions.
By the week!
Oh, no. No, that's the Tigers. Hosted by Scott later this week. In this week's episode, because there's no Saints game to recap, we are going to discuss the conference championship games along with pick'ems. There's a few little NFL things going around to Deshaun Watson. And we'll spend some time overanalyzing the return of possible changes that the Saints are clearly going to have to endure this offseason. So put your seatbelts on, give your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with a 1.5. Actually, took off early a little bit from work today and was waiting for you to make the room available. So, got a little vodka cocktail. Not much.
Very good, very good. Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am a zero. I'm a zero. It's in the afternoon. I'm still kind of doing some work here and there, so not quite drinking yet. Actually, I haven't drank in a while, kind of dieting, so lost about 7 pounds. So
what?
It's going good.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Speaking of losing weight, James, welcome to the show. What's your number? Have you lost any weight?
Nope. Definitely not.
Thank you.
Yeah, not even close to losing weight. I am a zero. Thursday night, I'm going to wait till the weekend to drink.
Smart.
All right. And then Ben, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go probably just a 0.5 or maybe just a 1. Just the one drink tonight with dinner. Nice little gin and tonic. And about it, really. Yeah. Quite easily.
Quite easily. You mix it with stuff so that you can't taste it?
Yeah, tonic.
Yeah.
Yeah, called a gin and tonic. That's why it's called a gin and tonic, Jeff.
It's not called a gin and squirt.
It would be if I was making it. So, all right.
I'm never taking a drink off you.
All right. We have options. We can either, do we want to lead with Saints or do we want to lead with NFL? Like games.
This is a Saints podcast, so I would think that'd be the route to go.
Yeah, because you can do the NFL games in twine with pick'ems.
Okay. Well, then let's get into the introduction of an old favorite. Overanalyze this. And this is the segment where the Donkeys overthink everything that has to do with the New Orleans Saints. Let's start with Mickey Loomis and a team of 10 people were over in Alabama this week, I think, for the Senior Bowl.
Distanced.
Well, apparently this is different than in the past, and he said it's even a bit of a challenge because they could only bring 10 people per club. And I guess the Saints are used to bringing a bigger entourage, he said, even to support Alabama, and it's regional. It's a lot easier for, I guess, the Saints to send a delegation. Does that make you think that, you know, again, like the fact that we lost Fontenot now, good thing Jeff Ireland's still there, but the fact that we apparently used to bring more people than probably other teams, we were closer. Did that help us? Was that an advantage that we're losing now?
No, I don't think so. They can videotape it in the practices and then show it to as many people as they want.
But even Loomis was saying that, like, that's a change that it's not something they can't overcome, but he was saying like the fact that you don't have as much in-person stuff is not, and you don't get to interview the players like you could. Like, I'm worried that
you've got Zoom, you can interview him, how many people you want on Zoom. You can set an interview up.
It's not exactly the same as being in person, but every team is going to have to go through this.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, that part of the level, I guess.
And there's no combine or anything or individual workouts. So it's just going to be what it's going to be. It you know, it could affect some teams. I think I saw a tweet where Matt Rhule, the coach for Carolina last year, was in an elevator with a top prospect that they were looking at. He just happened to get in the elevator with him, and by the time they got to whatever floor they got to, he had already decided there's no way they'd draft that guy. So you have things like that that will obviously maybe impact a team. Maybe he felt like the guy just wouldn't fit in with their locker room the way he was acting or talking. I don't know, but I mean,
did he touch him inappropriately, or
I don't know what happened, but I'm just telling you that's what it said. He said that. So,
well,
I don't know.
Did he fart? I mean, it could have been anything.
James, I have no idea.
Did he burn his red beans?
He might have. I think that's what it was.
Did he squirt his drink?
And they were blue. And they were Blue Runner. So I don't think they were really like real red beans.
You know why they call him Blue Runner? Because on the way out.
Yeah, I don't think really. It's obviously going to be a different way for them working, but we've all been like that this year. Let's be honest. Everyone in every profession, everyone is working in different ways. So I think it'd be quite to be over analyzing it a little bit.
That's what we're here to do.
Well, that's exactly what we're here to do, and I just don't think lack of getting to know the prospects and stuff, it might not be a good year to give up a first round draft pick for a quarterback somewhere,
or it could be a good year to do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's not a good year to do it. Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to jump over to now the Saints quarterback situation. So last week, I can't remember if we actually got it on the show. Did we talk about possible Stafford situations last week on the show? I don't think we did. I think we might have done that in the WhatsApp. But we got Stafford as an option. We did talk about Jameis Winston and the assumption that that's the, you know, why go chase something else when you've got the same thing at home. Or you assume that you have him at home, but as Scott pointed out, we're taking for granted that he's going to resign. But now we've got the confirmation that Deshaun Watson's requested a trade from Houston. So now what do you do? Or do you want Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Rodgers isn't leaving Green Bay.
I agree. I don't know why they even say he's whatever. Yeah.
Deshaun Watson is the dream, right? He would be the one that if we could go and get any quarterback in the NFL, he would be the one. We just haven't got what it's going to take to get him. We just don't have the capital to, you know, you're talking 3 or 4 first round picks you're going to need to give up to get him. We just probably a player.
I mean, think about it.
I think it'll take 3 or 4 first round picks and someone like Ramchek or Marshawn Lattimore.
If what you guys said, you know, like about the draft, not being able to be in person, just punt this draft, go full Ditka, trade your whole draft and then give them a few more pieces and then hope you can get them. Cause that's what it's going to take. Like James said, it's gonna be a lot of capital to get him.
Yeah. It would definitely be a full Ditka, Ricky Williams kind of deal if they were going to do that. And I just don't see them going that route kind of based on what, yeah, based on what Loomis said in his press conference, that they were built to win now and there's no reason to blow everything up and to do that we could win a championship. So that tells me that they're not going to be willing to give up a lot.
Or they just go all in because if the roster, they feel still talented enough. The issue is going to be the guys you got to re-sign and you're going to be absorbing Watson's contract. I know Loomis is a wizard, but obviously we'll have a salary.
You can kick a lot down the road. Yeah,
you can. Look, there's easy ways to get under it, but then I mean, adding
I think if you turn around to certain players and say, look, can you restructure your contract? We've got to Sean Watson here to ring you, win you a Super Bowl ring. I think a lot of players will be, I think they'll be willing to do it. But
see, the problem is, if you do that, you kind of get back into the same situation where with Drew, where you're sinking all this money into one player and then you don't have a defense around him. And you're going to be stuck in the same situation you've been in.
It's interesting that Deshaun's demand for a trade is like the worst timing for Deshaun, because with the salary cap most likely dropping, no team's going to be able to give him the kind of money that he probably wants.
He signed an extension last year. He's already being paid. He's already got a nice contract that he signed this past off.
Okay.
So the contract's not going to be adjusted. It's just right now you've got to absorb whatever his cap's going to be, because he's under
4 years, $160 million. Left.
Okay, so what's that? 1.6. That's
four. It averages 40, but it's 40 cap year. Math. You know, it's cap math. They can you can do things.
Oh, so I don't know, man. Like, I don't see any way that you do it, because I agree with Scott. Like, the one of the worst things about the Breeze the last few years has been how much he eats. He took a huge chunk of the pie, which means you have to hit on the draft.
Yeah, if we don't trade all our picks and you know we go with. I mean, because even with Stafford, you're going to have to trade at least a first.
Yeah, with Stafford, you're going to have to trade a first and probably a player. And it's probably going to end up being like somebody like Lattimore.
Reckon?
Think about it.
I don't know.
I don't think so. Who's the coach in Detroit right now? Dan Campbell. Who do you take with him? Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn has been Lattimore's safety or quarterback coach since he got into the league. It makes sense that that's who you would offer.
But like they've got a CUDA there, haven't they?
It makes sense that that's who they request.
Right. And you might not have to necessarily give it to them, but
would you do it? The 28th pick in Lattimore for Stafford? Would you do that?
No. Or would you? I think losing Lattimore is a bigger impact than losing Michael Thomas at this point.
Yeah, you'd be, like I said, you'd be in the same situation where you don't have as much of a defense, but you have a good offense. And that's basically back to where we were.
Right. We won how many games without Thomas this year?
Most of them.
Well,
a lot.
And we don't win many games when Lattimore doesn't play.
Yeah. No, we don't. And if you trade Lattimore, that means you gotta replace him.
I'm still scarred from those years where we had no secondary. When Jason David and whoever Brandon else was back there.
Who were like, hey, look, B.W. Webb's in. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, so no.
I'd rather have someone like Marshall Lattimore on the team and then someone like Michael Thomas on the team.
Yeah. So then, Detroit and Stafford's off the table. Then we got to go after Watson then. Watson,
it's gonna be.
We got Watson here.
It's gonna be Jameis. It's Jameis. Maybe they draft a guy.
Imagine if it's Tyson.
I mean, see, like my whole thing, I guess, last week before we really knew Watson was an option, or it was even a.
Okay, you say Watson's an option, but like the Jets and Jags, they're gonna get like 4 or 5 first round picks. The Saints aren't gonna do that.
Yeah,
and you gotta understand too. They've already reported that the Lions for Stafford, over a third of the league has contacted the Lions.
But hold on
about Stafford.
Hold on, though. Listen to this. Watson wants out of Houston because he wants to win. He's tired of being a great quarterback on a shitty team. So he's not going to – he might be willing to take less from the Saints in order to be on a Super Bowl championship caliber team than to go to New York and waste the rest of his career.
Okay, but I'm not talking about his cap hit. I'm talking about what it's going to take to get him. Forget about his contract. Loomis can make it work if we absorb the contract.
With the other
you've got you've also got the no trade clause as well that Watson's got in his contract. So he is going to kind of control where he wants to go. The two parties are going to have to come up with an agreement. Obviously, I think. You might, if he doesn't want to go to New York, but I think the Jets would be a really good landing spot for him. I really do, with the cap space history and like I say, a young coach coming in now there. I think the Jets would be a good spot for him. I actually do.
I think they're a poorly run organization, and he's in one now.
I'm absolutely terrified that he's going to end up in Carolina. I've got a horrible feeling that might happen.
Did they only sign Teddy to 1 year last year?
No, they signed him to a 3-year deal.
Okay. I don't think that's as big of a possibility then.
I mean, look, no, if they get Watson, they'll find a way to get rid of Teddy.
Yeah, they'll be takers, Teddy, 100%. They'll be takers, yeah. Teddy.
Well, he'll go to Houston, surely.
Yeah, they trade Teddy to Houston.
Do a swap like that?
Yeah. Swap with them and draft picks.
And a bunch of draft picks.
And see, that's also like the Lions could do that too with Stafford.
Mm. The one
Send
you
Stafford
James,
to Texas.
James. So yeah, it's the Saints situation, I guess. Y'all are right. Like, there's nothing we like. These guys just aren't options for us. They're not realistic options. We can't afford it.
I mean, Stafford could be realistic. Watson, as much as I would want it, is just probably it's not realistic. I see no chance getting Watson.
Nah.
Right, but why lose chips to get Stafford when you have Winston, who's comparatively the same and younger?
Yeah.
So basically what you need to look at is not necessarily teams that are trading quarterbacks, but more so free agents that are going to be out there.
So who's that?
Because
Dak Prescott. But he's going to cost a lot of money.
Dallas isn't going to let him go. They'll just franchise tag him.
Again. They could franchise tag him, but it's going to cost him $37 million to franchise
so
him.
So be it. It's Jera.
Oh, my.
Yeah, but he's
apart.
Under cap. There's a
doesn't
cap.
Doesn't matter. I know. It doesn't matter. Jerry's not going to let him go.
So who else? Aaron Rodgers?
He's not leaving Green Bay.
He's not a free agent either.
He's not a free agent.
Anyway. Who's the Nick Mullins?
Y'all were throwing around Darnold's name.
No.
Look, if Deshaun ends up with the Jets, Darnold will be traded whether to Houston or somebody else.
I prefer Jameis Winston.
Your free agent quarterbacks this year: Dak Prescott, Jacoby Brissett, Mitch Trubisky, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Andy Dalton, Cam Newton.
Pass.
That'd be hilarious if we signed Trubisky.
Mm. Oh God.
Josh Rosen.
No, it wouldn't. There was nothing funny about that.
Sure would be. I'd laugh and then I'd cry.
In my opinion,
go ahead.
In my opinion, I'm looking at the list of teams in the NFL. There's potentially easily 15 teams in the NFL that could be going for a new quarterback this offseason. I don't think we've ever seen this level of interest in the quarterback position before.
In a long time, at least.
You've got New England who are going to be right up for these trades with Stafford.
What if Deshaun ends up in New England? I'll be so mad about that. Because that's another 20 years of New England Patriots.
That would be pretty gross.
New England than the NFC South.
I mean, yeah.
Well, I don't want him in the NFC, period. Stay in the freaking AFC. It's going to be Jets or Dolphins.
Yeah, but real quick, if you said
you
Trubisky, if the Saints do something stupid and sign Trubisky, then I will always refer to him as Billy Joe Trubisky.
because if the Jets and the Dolphins have a lot of draft pick capital they could send, plus they pick early enough this year where Houston could just draft the replacement, whether it be Zach Wilson or Fields.
Tua could end up in Houston.
And that's the other thing we talk about. Yeah. Like this, we don't, if we end up securing Jameis Winston, even if it's a band-aid for 2 years, I mean, we could, you don't know what you do know what the quarterback market's going to look like the next couple of years as well. So
you just don't know where you're going to be picking.
Yeah.
Right. So if you look at this year's draft, we pick 28.
If it works out, you don't have to worry about the draft. If he doesn't work out, then you'll have a good pick.
You know, if you don't trade up and you stay at 28, your quarterback options are probably guys like Mac Jones or Trask, because I think Wilson's going to be gone. I think Trey Lance is going to be gone. So the top four will be gone.
But honestly, I've landed on this place where I'd rather take a free agent quarterback than a draft a quarterback. And I just think the drafting of a quarterback is a much higher risk crapshoot. Take a proven commodity, even if he's been in the league for five. I mean, take a 5-6 year quarterback.
Is Jameis proven?
I honestly, I still say like
for 5,000 yards.
Right. I think he's proven that he's not.
He's got an arm. He's proven he's got an arm.
It's proven that he's not going to be a bust and washout. You know,
he's not Dwayne Haskins. He's not Dwayne Haskins.
Right. Like, you could draft a guy at 28th after 3 years. It's like, well, he's not an NFL quarterback. Boom.
Right. At least Jameis, I really do think that the concerns with Jameis are coachable. And I think that Sean Payton and Pete Carmichael can coach him into making better decisions and can call plays that don't always put him in a position to just launch the ball into triple coverage.
I think he's going to have a better offensive line here than he did ever at Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you looked at
decision
we all saw the video and watched the 30 interceptions, and a lot of it was with the pocket collapsing all around him. Not making any excuses for him, obviously. Like, some of the throws were horrendous.
Is that the same offensive line that Tom Brady's going to the Super Bowl with right now?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yep,
yeah,
that's what I thought.
The left tackle's the rookie, isn't it? Tristan Wirfs, but yeah,
he's the difference maker.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, so, maybe they just didn't like him, and he's not a likable guy.
Oh, so then our offensive line's not likable?
Yep. No, I don't know. I think he at least deserves a shot to prove that he can be coached. If he can't be coached, then we're in this position next year. You just throw this year away then. Which, honestly, based on what we are facing with the salary cap, we're going to be losing a shit ton of players already.
Right, but we're still going to have a lot of good players on the team. Well, can't throw it away.
To me, it's 70% nailed on that Jameis Winston will be the starting quarterback for the Saints next year.
Yeah, I think so. I think that another 20% onto that will be Taysom Hill, and then the 10% will be the free agent or trade move.
I'll put Taysom below 20. I think there's 0% chance Taysom Hill is the starting quarterback for the Saints.
I've got a feeling. I just got a horrible feeling that Peyton would try.
Zero.
You know what's going to happen is Jameis is going to go sign somewhere else, and y'all are going to be eating your words when Taysom Hill's starting that quarterback next year. Because Jameis can go somewhere. I'm telling y'all, Taysom's the only quarterback we have that is signed on the team right now.
That would be a disaster.
And Jameis could say, you know what? Somebody's going to offer me more money. Somebody, you know, there might be a better fit for me. Thanks for the lesson. I got a year under Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Deuces.
How can we let a quarterback with a perfect passer rating in a Saints uniform, one pass, one touchdown?
You know, there's another Saint that was like that back in the 90s. His name is Mike Buck.
I do. Remember. I think we talked
about that before. Wow. Brought him in. I want to say it was against Washington that he brought him in for one play, and he threw a like 70-yard.
He threw a bomb. Yep. Wow, Mike.
But look, yeah, Jameis Winston is like, you know, that what I mean. You don't know exactly what Drew said to him on the sideline during the Tampa game, but it certainly looked like he said to him, "It's your team now," didn't it? It certainly looked like that's what he said. You know, I don't think Winston's going anywhere, and I think he'll be the starting quarterback for us next year.
I mean, if I put myself in Winston's head and Drew Brees is leaving, I've got a year in this offense. I've got a great championship level team and coach. Why would I leave? What is there to go shop for other than money? But like, other than right. But like, the Saints will pay him, I'm sure. They'll give him some at least more than he made last year. That's why he signed a 1 year deal to begin with.
What do you pay him? What's your match?
Shit if I know, because he's unproven at this point.
He signed a 1 year deal because he saw what Teddy did the year before.
Yeah, but Teddy played six games. Jameis didn't play enough to get Teddy's deal.
So and so maybe right, he but
thought,
he still
maybe yeah. he thought it when he signed it, I'm gonna be able to do a Teddy move or at least have the option. But I don't think he has that. That's not a realistic option.
Teddy did play first season though. He was with us for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was in so he signed a one-year deal, didn't he? And then re-signed with us instead of going to Miami and then
for seven and a half. I think Jameis signs for probably 10. I don't think it's gonna be any lower than that.
Okay. Jeff, you're thinking logically. We don't know what Crab Legs is gonna be thinking.
Well, yeah. What would you say a 3-year, 35 million deal or something? Okay. Or?
Winston, I give him a year.
You just do a year?
Yeah.
Would he sign for a year, though? Will he get a more attractive offer elsewhere?
Probably not. You're going to have to at least sign up for two.
You got some minimum two, I think.
I think it's easily a multi-year deal, whatever he does.
A 3 year with a get out of two potentially. That's what I'd look towards.
I don't know, man. If they believe in him, maybe they sign up to a longer deal. I don't.
And that, you know, there's always that theory that's why they didn't play him during the regular season, so they could get him for cheaper. They have the inside scoop on where he's at right now. Nobody else knows where he's at right now.
We're not broadcast.
If he leaves the building and starts going out working out for other teams, then he could have an issue.
I suspect he won't be able to leave the building, and there'll be an announcement maybe after Drew finally tells everybody he's retiring officially.
Yeah,
this could be where after the Super Bowl. This could be where COVID helps us, because another team might not even be able to work him out.
Yeah.
So you saying Peyton put the virus out there on purpose so teams couldn't work out Jameis Winston? Is that what you're saying?
That's a little bit tin hat, but
There's a lot of wild conspiracy going around, but I like that one. Instead of crab legs, it's bat legs.
Bat wings.
I mean, he likes seafood. He's staying here. He likes boiled seafood. All right. I think that we have overanalyzed that, at least to the extent of what we know. So the other thing is the other players that we can either cut or restructure. I'm trying to pull up that graphic, James, that you sent, or was it Dave that sent?
Dave, it's probably Dave.
Yeah. So Quan Alexander, is he accounting for $13.4 million against the cap next year?
It appears so, right?
I don't want to lose him, though.
Restructure, then.
He can restructure.
All right. Janoris Jenkins, $7 million.
Gone.
Wait, no.
Not $7 million. You can't. Yes, and that's good.
I thought he was $10 million, Janoris Jenkins.
Even at ten, I think you keep him.
All right, let me get out. No.
All right, and I'm just looking at this graphic that he shared. Okay, Patrick Robinson, $2.6 million. I think he deserves it. I mean, if you can afford it.
He's up in age. I mean, you can.
Injury prone.
Yeah,
you can.
So we gotta,
now it's going to depend on what all that. A lot of that's going to depend on what you do with Lattimore, too. Because if Lattimore's there, you got
to... If Lattimore leaves, then you have to keep all these guys.
Yeah, I mean, basically.
Yeah.
I've got Jack Rabbit's cap hit at $14 million here.
Yeah.
And then you're going to save $7 million by cutting him. So you try
okay,
and restructure
that's the numbers. Okay, so that's what these numbers meant. So if you cut Quan, you save $13.4 million. If you cut Janoris Jenkins, you save $7
million. Yeah. The other one is Emmanuel Sanders.
If you cut P-Rob, you save 2.6. Malcolm Brown, you save 5. Nick Easton, you save 6. Jared Cook, cut, you save 9.1. That's the easiest fucking decision ever. You're telling me that I'm going to save $9 million to get rid of a guy that I was ready to cut before we ever had this conversation?
Emmanuel Sanders, why cut him already.
you save 6 cutting Emmanuel Sanders, but I'm not sure that I'd want to cut him.
I think if you trade Michael Thomas, you need Sanders.
Depends how Michael Thomas behaves on social media
but
for me.
I mean, do y'all really feel like Emmanuel Sanders can be a number one? I don't think he is.
No, he's not. No. He's not a number one.
He never has been.
Right. He can't ascend that, to that either.
They could draft that kid from Florida.
Tony.
Kadarius Tony.
Yeah.
Draft Terrence Marshall at 28.
And look, he at the Senior Bowl practice, he's in Saints form. He ran this route where he totally out-juked the guy and they threw him the ball in and he dropped it. So that's like
you've seen that
he's
video
got
too.
Ted Ginn written all over him.
He's a perfect Saint.
He absolutely destroys the DB on the route and it's just a simple little pass and he just drops it.
Oh, Ted Ginn. All right, so do you save $24 million when Breeze retires?
If it's a post June 2nd,
so that's when we're going to find out. I mean, he's going to do a team friendly retirement.
Well, we'll
do it June 3rd.
they'll announce it now, but they won't officially put it on the books until June the 2nd.
Right. But they'll make all their moves, yeah.
But the problem is we need that $24 million before June the 2nd.
Well, I'm sure there's ways that you take care of that. I mean, you just basically, I don't know.
When's free agency? May?
No, February, March.
So it's before the draft, isn't it? It's before the draft. Yeah, it's before the draft.
The new year starts in March. Yeah. The new season for.
But when do you? So yeah, like to the point of like, if you need that $24 million to sign somebody, how do you handle that? Where you're signing Drew's money away because you know he's going to retire, but he can't actually retire. Like, at what point does the salary cap look at the books and say, like, that's the day your salary cap needs to balance?
Well, you agree a deal with a free agent, but don't sign him until June the 3rd, officially.
Has that ever been done?
Yeah, it must have been.
Like, to wait that long, agree in March and April, May, June?
I'm sure.
Because then can they go to your workouts
You
spring?
Agree and you sign.
There's going to be no OTAs.
It doesn't go through the league books until June. There's got to be a way to do it.
I'm sure.
Well, Loomis will find a way.
Yeah.
We'll pray on Mickey Loomis.
Finds a way. Right. All right. So Morstead retiring would save us $2.5 million. Is it time?
He's not going to retire.
I think he'll come back again. I got a feeling he'll come back.
I think we definitely request him to take a pay cut. I think that's. Yeah. There's no way we can bring him back at whatever his cap number is going to be.
All right.
No. I can't see him playing on another team in the NFL.
Now, so according to this one, it says renegotiate Michael Thomas to save you $9.2 million, $9.3 million almost. Renegotiate Cam Jordan to save $10 million. Andres Pete, renegotiate to save six. Is it a six?
Or just cut his ass.
Right?
Well, like,
why?
You can't.
After this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you $5 million more to not have him than have him.
There's an out in Andrus Pete's contract after this next season.
Look, now I'm gonna be honest. This year, when he's healthy, and he was healthy for a lot of this year, he did play well. Like he wasn't the turnstile. It's just when he's nicked up, I don't know.
The interior of the line was a real issue this year. I don't know how much was Ruiz and Easton, but
I was going to say put it all on Pete.
So the Cam Jordan thing—that was a restructure for him, right?
A restructure to save 10.1.
Okay.
Marshawn Lattimore restructure save 7.2. Now I don't know where these whoever came up with this plan here, quote unquote, it's Saints_SZN on Instagram. But, like, is the renegotiation numbers that they're throwing out here, is that, like, if you could do that, you do that? Or, like, how do you know that a renegotiation with Andres Pete is going to save you $6.4 million?
It'll be something to do with converting a portion of his salary to a signing bonus and prorate it over the term of the contract and stuff like that.
But is that, like, is this Saints isn't playing fantasy GM?
Yes.
But it's what Nick Underhill did in his article 2 weeks ago. He did exactly the same exercise.
Nick did it first. Yeah. Marshawn Lattimore saved $7.2 million, so you don't have to.
Well, Lattimore's different because we have to renegotiate with, we have to extend Lattimore because this is the last year of his.
Year five. Yeah, his rookie
deal. This is year five of his rookie deal.
Yeah.
And then
extend Ramczyk $7 million. Save $7 million by stretching his contract out.
Well, again, like him, he's in his fifth year this year as well, so we have to extend him as well.
So by this hypothetical plan, you'd be keeping Thomas, Cam Jordan, Andres Pete, Marshawn Lattimore, and Ryan Ramczyk. You'd be losing Quan Alexander, Janoris Jenkins, P. Rob, Malcolm Brown, Nick Easton, Jared Cook, Drew Brees, and Thomas Morstead.
You haven't even mentioned Marcus Williams or Trey Hendrickson as well.
Yeah, but they're free agents.
So exactly.
In this exercise.
But looking at your team, your team could be missing those two players as well.
Right. It seems like there's no way Henderson is going to be back, right? He's going to fetch a lot of money.
Yeah.
People go after him. People buy what he's... Yeah.
So me and Ben talked about this before and we disagreed. Marcus Williams, Trey Hendrickson, who's the most important one to try and re-sign?
I think Williams.
score.
To me, it's Hendrickson, because Hendrickson is more difficult to replace than Marcus Williams is going to be.
I disagree with that.
I kind of disagree, but again, I have that post-traumatic stress.
Exactly what I've got.
Not having a
I'm
good
the same way
for so many
Marcus
years.
Williams.
But well, I think there's also the issue is, do you trust this is what Hendrickson is? Like, he got 13 and a half sacks this year. Is right? Is do you think he continues this, or is it just a 1 year flash in the pan?
That's a good point. Or did he wasn't that good because everybody was doubling? I mean,
what happens if he starts wearing gloves next year and he wrecks himself? You know.
Also, yeah, you got people like, we're very good recently at picking up undrafted free agents and late round picks on that defensive line. So I'd feel confident to bring, look at Granderson. Granderson, I think, is ready to take more snaps for us.
And we did keep Ryan Nielsen.
Yeah. Exactly. So, we've lost Aaron Glenn.
Right.
He's gone to go and bite some kneecaps off in Detroit.
But it's not like Marcus Williams doesn't make you pull your hair out every now and then.
But yeah, like I think against Minnesota.
I
think he improved massively this year.
I
think he needs to go just for the Minnesota Miracle.
I mean,
I'm still not over that.
I still think if Marcus Williams in a bigger market, he'd be talked about a lot more.
All right. So another thing we didn't talk about last week, because the show came out before the news came out, was Michael Thomas's likely to have surgery on his
mute Ben, please
ankle. Oh. No, I think I want to hear from Ben on this topic.
surgery, fair play. Yeah, crack on with surgery. But I thought he was going to mention his tweets during the NFC Championship game that kind of pissed me off royally.
Oh yeah, his little cryptic tweets.
Take his phone off him. One of the things I loved about Michael Thomas before he got paid is you didn't hear from him. You only heard from him on the field.
So you're saying
he wasn't,
you've not been following him on Twitter.
Yes, but you didn't hear so much shit from him. You don't hear about him getting into fights with people like Gardner Johnson and stuff. You didn't hear from that before.
Okay, that's
paid.
Not a tweet. That's not that he didn't tweet from his Twitter account that he had a fight with CJ.
No. But you don't hear that kind of stuff coming out about Michael Thomas. And now it's all slowly beginning to leak out. Drew had a bad arm lock.
But we know the impact that CJ has on wide receivers. Like, that's not Thomas's fault. That's CJ's superpower.
I'm more going on about the fact about him doing the cryptic tweets about Drew's arm strength. And you are, yes, you and Drew arcs have probably crossed, and you are a better player and more value to the Saints now than Drew was last season. But there's no right to go and throw him under the bus like that. I just thought it was so disrespectful and shitty. It reminded me when Odell Beckham did that to Eli Manning in New York before he got out of there. And I just, I was pissed off reading that. It really fucked me off.
I do agree that, like, Drew Brees deserves more respect than that.
Absolutely.
That you don't need to like trash the guy about his last season in the league. On the other hand, like, what if that tweet was less directed at Drew and more directed at the coaching decision and the team's decision to play?
You keep it in house. You don't put it on in the public domain on Twitter. I'm sorry, you keep Sean that Payton's shit internal.
Always been that, big about that, you know.
You keep that shit internal. You don't air it out.
Yeah.
If he'd have been saying stuff that wasn't true, I would be bothered. But it's not like he was lying, is it?
Yeah, no, he wasn't. Yeah, I agree with you there, James. I agree with you there. Yeah, Drew's arm strength was a problem. But I just wouldn't be airing it out. It's not the way I would want to see a teammate of mine, or if I was a coach, I would see a player of mine doing that. It just stinks.
Drew's not on the roster next year. He's not lying. You know,
no.
I've made this point. If the Saints had had a half decent quarterback in the playoffs this year, we'd still be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I still don't think you go on and disrespect a man like that after what he's done and being a constant in your career. yeah, no, it stank. It was horrible. I did not like it one bit. Pissed me off.
If he catches 10 touchdowns next year, you'll soon get over it.
I generally don't. I see him potentially being in the Saints one or two more years max. That's
if
it.
If he scores 10 touchdowns next year, you'll be over it.
Oh, yeah, I'll be happy, but I still remember.
There you go.
Of course I'll be happy. Of course I'll be happy about it. He catches 10 touchdowns because I support the team. I don't support one player. You know, he's helping the team there, but doing stuff like he did on Twitter, I don't think it's helping the team or helping the locker room. Like, the reason Peyton got rid of people like Brandon Cooks and Jimmy Graham was because they're shit for the locker room. And I could just see a tiny little bit of that coming in with the way Mike's attitude is. Sorry, it's me. It's me done.
Yeah. I want to disagree with you and be like, he has a right to tweet what he wants to tweet. But I do know that if it were my team and I'm coaching, I'd be pretty pissed off that a player was going to start airing some dirty laundry in public. I don't like that.
Okay.
I kind of, as a pissed off fan because of the playoffs and all that shit and the way Drew played in his last game, it's kind of like he's saying what we're all thinking. I don't know.
Okay. I don't want my players being pissed off that they lost in the playoffs. And if Thomas is pissed off in the playoffs, then that's all good for me. You know, Alvin Kamara 2 days later was hawking his new shoes on Instagram Live.
I mean, it's the off season.
Well, it is. I'd still want my players being pissed off for a bit that they're not still in the season. That's just me. I'm a sore loser.
All right,
I'm all about team culture, and I thought it was just
going back to his surgeries, though. So, dude, that one little ankle roll from week one.
Mm.
Wow, that was clearly more than an ankle roll.
We talked about this.
Did we? Are you sure you and I didn't just talk about it?
I'm pretty sure we all did.
Okay, because we kind of was talking about the fact that, if they wouldn't have forced him to play, would it have not
been? We definitely talked about this because I think me and Jason was talking about it too.
Okay. All right. Well, moving on.
Move on, meow.
All right. Anything else about the Saints that y'all want to overanalyze?
I just saw this tweet by Ross Jackson. I don't know who that is, but it says Alabama quarterback Mac Jones spoke highly from his meeting with the Saints at this year's Senior Bowl, said he hopes he impressed them and proved he is a smart quarterback.
Mm. I don't think he'd be there.
Oh, I think he might be.
I mean, he's had a couple of good videos at the Senior Bowl for whatever that's
worth. Yeah, he has. From what I've seen, he's been dropping dimes at the Senior Bowl.
But originally, I was just thinking, he's the product of playing with all those five stars at Alabama.
Well, this is from Field Yates. There's a track record of quarterbacks using the Senior Bowl practice week to cement or boost their draft stock, and there's little doubt Mac Jones did that this week. He brought his Alabama accuracy to practice, made good decisions, showed natural leadership. A really impressive week.
Did he say his Alabama accuracy?
Yeah, that's what he says. I don't know what that means.
Alabama accuracy.
I don't think he needed to be accurate with those wide receivers because they were all quicker than everybody else.
Maybe he was referring to chasing his sister and having sex with her.
And that's that lowbrow humor we talked about.
It would just be typical, wouldn't it, of the Saints to go and draft a quarterback out of Alabama after the whole issues we had of Ingram coming out of Alabama, how some portion of the fans reacted to that. It'd be so typical to go and get a quarterback from Alabama now, wouldn't it?
At this point, I don't really give a shit where our players come from as long as they're good.
I don't either. Once they leave college, I could care less.
Unless they're
from there are people that care about that shit, though.
Scott from the Tiger's Den would beg to differ.
Yeah. So on this podcast, he's like, "Yeah, I don't really care." On his podcast, "Fuck no, Matt Jones."
once the game is over and they graduate, they're done. I don't care about them anymore.
If they're from LSU, you care about how they do in the NFL because
because you watch them and you track them and you know, LSU has more players playing in the Super Bowl this year than any other team, but we'll talk about that on the Tigers Den this week.
No offense. I want Devin White to shit the bed in the Super Bowl. I don't want it doing well.
Well, there's six of them playing, so, and three of them are running backs.
All right. That's enough out of the Saints talk. Let's actually check in on Pick'ems, Jason.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game you never, ever win. Yeah. My game. Come on. My time. Yeah, what you got? You can't win. It's all about the game and how you play it. It's all about the show and how you take it. It's all about the check and how you pay it. It's all about the pay and how you make it. I am the king.
Why? I don't have everybody's records. You do.
Oh, you slacking?
Yeah, I've been slacking for a while.
All right. So fortunately, I caught up on everything this past week. So the picks were skim. For first of all, I think a lot of people realize they have no chance of winning, so they just stopped making their picks. But we had a lot of O and twos. And only Ash, Big Easy Guy John, me, and Gerald Booty actually picked a winner, and we all of us went 1-1. Everybody else was 0-2. So the overall standings: JTL is in first place, followed by Ash, Tom Ensign, and then me. Then Trevor Bruno, then Jason. Jason, you are one game behind me, so.
Ooh, so I got to go opposite you?
Yeah, you might have to. and that'll just be a tie. James, you're behind Jason. There's no way you're going to catch up. Carp, Scott, you're even further behind, followed by Davis Douglas. Big Easy Guy John. Neil with a 409 record, sans Hobbs, and then Ben with a 400 record. So, Neil, congratulations. You are better than Ben.
We did that anyway.
And then Gerald Booty Dominion is our last place finisher so far. But actually, if Gerald Booty wins and Ben loses, Ben will be the last place.
No.
Yes, sir. You.
That's great.
Y'all are both 32 wins, and Booty is.
I think I've missed a week or two, haven't I?
You've missed a little more than him, but at this point, we're going to go with like y'all.
Both
have 32 wins, so whoever has 32 wins at the end is going to be.
I can tell you now my pick's Kansas. I can tell you that now.
All right, Gerald, then your pick's going to be Tampa. We're not even
going to. Got to feel so gross doing that.
Yeah. All right. So, Jason, what games do we have on the. Oh, actually, do we want to wait for Pick'ems till next week, or?
I guess
we're a little late. Why don't we just give people 2 weeks to pick?
Sure. Yeah, we got Super Bowl 50. Is it 5?
I don't even.
Shitty game of the week.
The shitty game.
So you've actually, got the.
Is there a line?
There is a. Of course, it's a Super Bowl. Come on.
I didn't know if it was too early for one.
It's never too early for gambling.
There was a line Sunday night.
Yeah.
All right.
So you got the AFC representative, Kansas City Chiefs, coming off a really big win against Buffalo. All of us, or a lot of us, picked Buffalo. Some,
not me.
Luckily, did not, right? Yeah, Kansas City riding high. Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in the league. They come in and to play the Tampa Bay Bucks, who went up to Lambeau and beat Aaron Rodgers. You know, that's Rodgers is now 1-4 in NFC Championship games. So, as much as we dislike Tampa and shit on them, I mean, look at this: Tampa's in the Super Bowl, the first team to play the Super Bowl in their own home stadium, even though it won't be full. Tom Brady, with all the performance enhancers that he's taken, looks as young as ever.
Plastic surgery.
So, you got Chiefs at the Bucks and. Tampa is getting 3 at home, a home dog in the Super Bowl.
So I'll pick first. on this one. I will actually take Tampa because I think this is just as the NFL scripted it from the moment they sent Tom Brady to Tampa to be the first home team in the playoff, to take Tampa straight to the Super Bowl and let him ride off into the sunset on a win, never mind anybody else, even though I don't think he's going to retire this year. And I'm sorry, I want that man drug tested 5 times a day, every day, because there's no damn way that he's not on something that the NFL deems illegal.
43-year-old quarterbacks don't play like that. They just
or
don't
look like that. I mean, yeah, no, none of that. None of that. No, no.
Odds on that if Tom Brady gets COVID, the NFL try and cover up and make him play.
Oh, the Super Bowl spreader of events.
super spreader. Yeah, I mean,
you look at like when Roger Clemens was in his 40s, you know, throwing as hard as he was and stuff, and people were like, oh, this is amazing. There's no way he should be able to do this. And then it comes out that, you know, he's on HGH.
Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, that's another one. You know, it's just
every athlete that performs at a high level is on something. That's there. It's not human what they can do. And nah, it's just
Tiger Woods. We all found out what that was.
Look, I mean, and no disrespect, but I wouldn't be surprised if Drew didn't take a few supplements or do a few things that might be considered.
He just used that for sleeve. That's all he did.
He must have quit by 2020.
Yeah,
actually, you're right. Like maybe Drew didn't. Maybe that's his problem: is that he's got too much of an ethical compass.
Right? Like Drew looked like a 42-year-old quarterback, and you don't think that man took care of his body?
Yeah,
you know.
So let me ask this question: Brady said he'd like to play till he's like 45. If he wins the Super Bowl this year, do you think he retires?
No,
or do you think he keeps playing?
I think he's got the ego that he can win again next year.
Yeah, why not?
Why would you though? You have nothing to prove. The thing was that you wanted to.
He's got more leave fingers New to put rings on,
right? You add another ring to your collection.
You wanted to leave New England and leave Belichick and prove he could do it with another team.
I think he's also getting paid the best. He's also getting the paid as best he's ever had in his career at Tampa.
Yeah, remember, he
you really don't think
deal.
This dude's gonna be making money hands over fist once he leaves football?
I think it's gonna be. I think his mistake in staying is gonna be that once, let's say Tampa wins, most championship teams get picked apart.
Yeah.
So that Tampa team won't be together.
Yeah.
And they go and re-sign Jameis Winston.
That's why we need to lock him up.
All right. I saw quite a depressing stat that the Saints is the team in the NFC South that hasn't been to the Super Bowl, like the longest period hasn't been to the Super Bowl in the NFC South.
Yeah, that's but two impressive. Of the teams don't have one, so.
Yeah, I guess so. But still, that's quite mad when you think about how successful we've been in regular seasons the last couple of years.
Yeah,
but I think that's also a testament to the NFC South that all four teams have been to the Super Bowl in the last, 11 years?
Yeah.
We're not the AFC East.
10 years, 11 years, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll go ahead and take Kansas City. I just think they're better. Kansas City's favored by 3. I just think Mahomes is too good.
Mahomes is going to win the Super Bowl by
two
scores.
Who? What?
The Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl by at least 2 scores.
All right.
Can I put a bold prediction sure to go wrong? At the end of Patrick Mahomes' career, he'll have more Super Bowl rings than Tom Brady.
Wow.
You know, that's a long one.
More. So that means he's got to get the same. Wow.
James. I guess
we got to do the podcast for the next 20 years now.
I'm going to take Kansas City as well. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire wins the Super Bowl, he will have pulled off something that most people have never done.
What is that? Yeah,
in the you'd have to listen to the Tigers Den to find out.
Oh, okay. I won't spoil it then. I won't spoil it now then.
Most people with common sense will realize what it is.
I don't think you got it.
Okay.
When
common sense or the answer
at the the professional, the college, the high school, and the Pee Wee League.
Damn it, Jeff. Why are you blowing my story?
Is it really?
High school, college, and NFL.
A running back?
Yeah. Well, I think just any player. That's, I don't know.
I can't imagine that there's not a single
maybe
player.
Maybe it's a running back. All within 5 years.
Okay, now that may be the case. Because you got to think that there's been players that have won in all three levels.
But also back-to-back champ, national championship.
Not in that condensed period of time.
Amount of time, yeah. I said some have done it. I said, but few. Okay. I don't think there's...
All right, Ben, what do you got?
Oh, Kansas all day long.
All right, so I'm the lone Tampa.
You're taking Tampa?
Yeah, I'm taking the points and the conspiracy theory.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's classic. I knew you would appreciate the conspiracy theory.
Classic. So. Yes, I can't go. Can't dismiss you for the conspiracy theory.
All right, that's your pick-ems, everybody. Make sure you get them in before the Super Bowl kicks off, which I believe is what Saturday. The
Sunday.
If only it were Saturday.
I keep.
Thing is, Jeff, I don't actually know if you are kidding or not. With
I thought about that. You guys would probably assume that I wasn't.
Are you going to watch the Super Bowl on Nickelodeon?
If they air it on Nickelodeon, I will. You're damn right. I got YouTube TV just so I could. Sunday the 7th. So make sure you got all day Sunday to send your picks in, everybody. In the meantime, I don't know that I have another segment for you to talk about. Unless anybody's got a final thought, bring it up.
All right, gentlemen. Free your mind.
I'd like to free something.
Focus.
That's what I was thinking. Just focus. Whatever.
Bells finally got a win last night. I got to go, which was, it's good to see him win. But we need to have a Pelican plunge soon because they've been plunging. They had a rough road trip. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But it was nice to finally get a win. They've been struggling. So that's all I got.
Another New Orleans tradition. Waste
squandering
the talent.
Waste NBA talent.
Yeah. Waste or just professional athlete talent.
I still think trading Zion
started with Archie.
Trading Zion for Deshaun Watson still on the tables. We said last week.
You bring up Archie. Today was the day that he was drafted.
50 years ago, right?
Yeah.
How about that?
That
was an early draft.
Early draft.
I didn't know the NFL drafted in January back then.
Apparently.
James, that might be what you were asking for, is that the NFL drafts before the free agency. Maybe they used to do it, and then they realized there was no free agency at the time.
Tigers Den podcast will be out later this week. We'll be talking all things LSU. Football, basketball, baseball, gymnastics, of course. I'll be throwing in some track and field and beach volleyball this week as well. So,
wow.
That's all amazing. The major sports covered.
I feel like it's an LSU Olympics podcast or something.
It kind of is. I mean, when you're good at so many sports, you got to cover them all.
The Olympic shoe podcast.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
Yeah, try again with that one.
Yeah.
All right, anybody else?
I just finished watching. I haven't been out for a while. The HBO Tiger Woods documentary.
I'm sorry, did you say HBO?
HBO.
Did you actually pronounce the part of it?
Yeah, HBO. I definitely recommend watching, especially if you're a golf fan. I'm sure Jason, we've spoken about it. You've watched it, and it's just amazing of what actually has happened to Tiger over the last couple of years. And I still think he wins more majors. That's it.
So the documentary convinced you that he's got more in the tank.
Well, it just seems he was that good. He's just got it in him, like. When I made my prediction long ago that he would win another major and nobody believed me. And sure enough, he goes and wins the Masters. But just watching how I don't know, like just how his whole life was set up to be him. And then he had no human interaction, didn't know how to interact with people. When he cuts you off from his life, you are cut off. Like, bye-bye. Yeah. Not a word.
It's going to be worse than Jeff and Jared Cook when that cut happens.
Damn,
but that's it. It's done.
Did you see the videos of like him and his kid and how they were showing his kid's swing is almost identical to his? And like, I'm actually very curious to watch the career that happens with his son. And then like, could he be like Tiger 2.0?
I mean, it does seem like Tiger's definitely a different guy now compared to before.
100%. He's having more fun on the golf course.
Yeah. For he was just beforehand, he was just a machine. And then like the celebrity got so big, it's kind of like when Jordan was talking about in The Last Dance, like you got to be so popular and like you couldn't go anywhere, you couldn't do anything. And to a point, you know, I mean, Tiger was, other than maybe like one of the famous athletes on the entire planet. So it's definitely a tough life, but man, some of the things that once the National Enquirer started following him and they followed him in like a SUV to a parking lot.
That's mad.
Where he banged a Perkins waitress.
That's in the documentary.
The Tiger's,
like I say, watch the documentary. It's amazing.
So what you're saying is that Tiger's been in COVID quarantine pretty much most of his life.
This has changed nothing for him.
No, this has changed nothing.
But no, I'm looking forward to golf season starting.
Oh. Yeah, they got the Farmers. I was watching it today. Some big boys playing.
All right.
The Masters starts. Masters comes around quick again this year, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to be March.
Is the Masters? Right. Yeah, the Masters is in March this year.
April. It's always in April. Okay. But they're actually going to have some fans.
Last year when it wasn't in April.
You're right. It was in the fall last year.
Yeah. So it's quite nice having like the Masters so close to it. And then obviously it'll be Europe versus USA in the Ryder Cup.
Ryder Cup. Hopefully we can get fans. Jeff's like, eh. how about these final parts, huh?
Why did I open this up?
Welcome to the Don't Patrol Golf Podcast. We're expanding, podcast coming out of our ass. Just, hey, we'll do
actually, I think that one would sound more like, hello and welcome to the Don't Patrol Golf Podcast. So do y'all believe that sports are going to kind of basically ignore COVID at this point and go back to normal?
No.
That's it. When they're talking about no OTAs, sorry, I should have mentioned this earlier. They're talking about no OTAs and stuff again this year.
March Madness happens.
But surely shouldn't the NFL start vaccinating players this offseason?
Yeah, you would imagine they would, but I'm even thinking in terms of college basketball. Like again, like the NFL has almost proven this. Like, if the NFL is going to play and they're going to put people in the stands and they're going to play their games and travel around the world, and there were cases, but it didn't shut it down. Shouldn't every sport just be like, you know what? We're just going to do our thing. All right, so that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show during the NFL season, the Dome Patrol Podcast all year round, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge that Jason referenced, the Premier League Podcast that happens every now and then, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn Weekly, and the newest show, The Tiger's Den, host by Scott, also published every week, and that is about LSU sports. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, Dome Patrol UK, Dome Patrol. No, that's all the Dome Patrols. BS and
Sure, we just got two.
Taking the Over and Tiger_podcast. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
Deco.
Say bye bye, donkeys.
Bye bye, donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation. What the heck? Just before the story was known, Charles had a film that his cover was blown. So he jumped off a bridge, committed suicide. This is how it is on the wild side. Tiffany, only 13, came to
family and friends for the summertime. Sitting on a mailbox, watching the boys climb trees and the girls play hopscotch. So far, her vacation was top-notch. Out of the blue, a Mercedes at top speed. Gangbangers chasing rivals on a stampede. Quick as a blink, shots rang out loud. And a hail of bullets zipped through the crowd. One hit Tiffany and instantly she died. Innocently, on a wild side.